Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
It's great to be back here. Wow, wow, wow. Wow. What a blessing. You may be seated. So honored to be here to celebrate with you. 39 years is nothing to sneeze at. It's something to celebrate. 39 legendary years under the leadership of Pastor David Blunt and Kim Blunt. Wow, what incredible pastors you have here. Graceful, wonderful, humble, blessed, genuine, down to earth. Thank you for loving God's people in such a genuine way. Thank you for being faithful on the field for all of these years. Sometimes you may not realize it, but you know, if I were to just take this bottle of water and ask somebody to hold it for a moment, that's one thing. But if you've been holding it for 45 minutes, your arm will start aching and you'll be shaking. And can you imagine holding it for a year? Can you imagine pastors that have been holding the weight of ministry for 39 years? But by the grace of God, my God's amazing, absolutely amazing, amazing grace. We celebrate them. We salute them. Thank you today for being a part of it. You today are a part of a harvest that is a result of seeds of faithfulness that have been sown over time in their lives. And so we celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love the opening song today. I'm telling you, all of the music here has just gone to another level. My God, you're a part of a growing church that's moving, that's getting better. You're under pastors that are lifelong learners. It keeps you young. It keeps your mind sharp. It keeps you just growing and becoming all that God could ever make you to be. And I hope that you were blessed by the McCrary sisters, my good from Nashville. Will you give them another hand, celebrate them, and thank God for this incredible gift from God. What a faithful, faithful God we serve. We love him. And, you know, we're not quite as agile as we were when we started out, but thank God that we're still here. I discovered, you know, that when you're younger, you know, we have little injuries. You see people in a condition and you realize, hey, this person must have fallen off of their bicycle and hurt themselves. They fell off their skateboard and hurt themselves. They fell out of a tree, climbing a tree. But you can get a certain age and see people contorted. And I asked an older lady, I said, what happened to you? She said, I slept wrong. I saw another man bent over. I said, what happened to you? He said, I sneezed too hard. And then I saw another lady. She got up out of her seat and she said, I thought she'd been in a car accident. I said, what happened to you? She said, I sat down too long. It's absolutely amazing. When we were teenagers, we would sneak out of bed to go to a party. Now we are sneaking out of the party to go to bed. My, time brings about a change. Time does bring about a change, and we are grateful to the Lord for his incredible goodness toward us, and we love him, and we honor him. But today I'm going to talk about the power of legacy, the power of legacy. Legacy is a power in and of itself. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7 through 9, Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 through 9 in the NIV, he says, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And the whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And then Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. the generations to come. Real power, I don't know whether you realize in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it talks about, Jesus had told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power, dunamis, power from on high. The word dunamis actually is connected to the word dynasty, because real power is manifested in a dynasty. It's not in just what happens in one generation. It's in a dynasty where it goes from one generation down to another generation, down to another generation. Are you aware that in America today that we are at a critical point in history? Because everything that we have in God could be lost in one generation. But it is the power of legacy. And I have prayed the prayer. I've been praying all of this year, every day this year. I pray, God, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Come, kingdom of God. I'm praying for the kingdom of God to come. I prayed, God, do something great in me so you can do something great through me. I dare you to just start praying and asking God, God, do something great in me. God cannot do anything through you that he's not first done in you. If you ask God, do something great in me so that you can then do something great through me. And then I prayed this prayer as a third request that I've been praying every single day this year. God, give us a season of miracles. A season of miracles of your divine intervention in the affairs of humanity to come and interrupt the normalcy of our world with your divine solutions. Give us a season of miracles that will heal bodies. A season of miracles that will deliver us out of financial ruin. A season of miracles that will restore the clarity of our minds. Give us a season of miracles to deal with bipolar disorders and dementia and Alzheimer's. A season of miracles. May God give us miracles when our doctors have not found the cure yet. May God give us a season of miracles. Miracles belong to God's people. They are the divine signature of God that he has done something. God is a God of legacy, and God made a covenant with Abraham. The only reason that God chose Abraham is not because he had come from a pristine background. No. Abraham was a pagan. His people were idol worshipers, and God chose him. You know why? Because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, the only reason that God chose Abraham over everybody else is because God said, this man is a man that will be faithful to teach whatever I teach him to his children and to command his household after him. So God was looking for somebody that he could give something to where it wouldn't die when they died. That's legacy. He says, I want to give it to somebody who's going to give it. I was in New York, and I was sharing with a Jewish rabbi, and he began to explain to me that the word legacy actually comes from a word rooted to river. It means flowing. That means that we don't stop the flow of what God is doing. We are just a part of a cycle of something that's got to flow. You got to let it go so you can let it flow. You got to let it go so you can let it flow. There's something that God wants to get through to you. Can you imagine that what started with Abraham came down to Isaac? The name Isaac means laughter. And guess what that says? Abraham gave birth to something that never did anything serious. We have a lot of information in the Bible about Abraham, very little about Isaac. His name means laughter. He was a joke, but he was a bridge. Isaac's most important contribution to the world was being a bridge between Abraham to get it down to Jacob. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He could not have transferred from Abraham to Jacob without Isaac. And even, this is God's way of saying that even if you got a child that's sort of crazy and sort of way out, I'm going to deal with their grandchildren. I just need a bridge. I need to come across the bridge. Legacy is about becoming a bridge between the Abraham and the Jacob, so that what God gave Abraham doesn't die with Isaac, that it makes it to the third generation, because a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. God's trying to get it to the grandchildren. He's trying to get it to another generation. He's trying to make sure that this thing flows. He's trying to give you power, which is a dynasty. Because God cannot do everything that he really wants to do in one generation. He will use one that builds the platform, that uses this thing to be able to create something. And may I say this to you, your success in whatever God gives you, the success is not just about you. The success only builds the platform. Your success of whoever you become in life, it is your platform to do your kingdom assignment, to be able to launch others forward. God gives you a platform to give credibility to your life so that you can then do your kingdom assignment, whether you're a businessman, whether you're an athlete, whatever success you have. It is a platform for you to do your kingdom assignment so that the blessing continues to flow. That's legacy. Legacy is a river. It is a flowing thing. It's a moving thing. It's got to go. It all begins just with a word. Can you imagine that? Just one word from God is enough to change your life. Just one word. Not two, just one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But now notice, if you'll be faithful with the Word, words form sentences. Sentences create paragraphs. Paragraphs blend into chapters. Chapters make a book. You know what the Bible teaches? That Jesus comes in the volume of the book. Now, you know what a volume is? It's a collection of books. The Bible is a collection of books. It's a bibliography of 66 books written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years of time. And all of it spoke prophetically about the word Jesus. What turned into a volume began with a word. Can you imagine if you were steward whatever word God gives you? And whether you realize it or not, there is one word that will essentially reside over your life. You're going to be known for one thing. For one thing, not 12, one thing. I meant for one thing. You're going to be known for that one thing. When we think of Job in the Bible, we think of patience, the patience of Job. When you think of Abraham, you think of faith. When you think of Tiger Woods, you think of golf. You think of Serena Williams, you think of, if you think of Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, you think of music. It's just one word. It's not to say that's the only thing they could do or the only thing that they did, but there's a word. And what God does is that he takes the collections of a word and begins to blend it together, because I just love Church on the Rock, because when you look around, this is a preamble of what heaven is going to look like. Men and women of every ethnos, every ethnicity, every background, every nation coming together, and each one has a word forming a phrase, forming paragraphs, creating chapters and books, and then volumes of the book. I mean, he comes in the volume of the book. It's a bibliography. It's a big book. But it's the same flowing of the goodness and the grace of God. In the Old Testament, he's Jesus concealed. In the New Testament, he's Jesus revealed. But every book of the Bible spoke prophetically of Jesus. I mean, he's Abraham's ram in the thicket. He's Isaac's well. He's Jacob's ladder. He's Judah's scepter. He's Moses' rod. He's Elijah's mantle. He's Elisha's staff. He's Gideon's fleece. He's Samuel's horn of oil. He's David's slingshot. He's Isaiah's figs. He's Hezekiah's sundial. He's Peter's shadow. He's Paul's handkerchief and apron. He's Stephen's signs and wonders. He's John's pearly white city. He is. if I had the time, I would go. You know that I could walk through the book. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's a prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's a trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's a faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's a rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. In Job, he's our day spring on high and our ever living redeemer. But I know that my redeemer liveth. I'm here to tell you today that he's given us something that is not designed to die with you. Let it flow. Let it flow. Legacy is calling. Legacy, 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 legacy. The word legacy comes from a Latin word that really means to send a messenger, an ambassador. An ambassador. An ambassador is never a novice, is never a child. It is a seasoned person that has walked with God, that has walked with the one with whom they represent. You can't be an ambassador of the United States if you're not familiar with the American policy, if you don't know the heart of the leader that is sending you. We represent somebody else. Legacy, we are a seed sown into another generation. And my God, one of the worst curses in our world today is egocentric and egotistical leaders, because they're not concerned about getting anything to anybody else. They just, as long as they have a good time. It was one of the kings, and he had a dream, and he got a prophetic word, and the prophetic word said that there's going to be peace during your time. And he says, what you said is good, but he said, your children are going to be in bondage. He said, hey, that's a good word, because at least it's going to be well during my time. What a selfish, egotistical leader that was cutting off legacy because he didn't let it flow. If something doesn't come out of your life, I'm just telling you, whatever God has given us is designed to flow. That's why whatever sits goes bad. You let a car sit too long, I don't care how fine it is, it'll go bad. Let your body sit in a chair too long, something is going to sleep. Let your mind sit, and you won't be able to call your thoughts. Whatever sits goes bad. If you let fruit sit for too long, it will go bad. Let meat sit for too long, it will go bad. Whatever sits goes bad. We're designed to be a legacy. Something is supposed to flow. It's supposed to flow. There's a currency of God that actually flows from us, and we're designed to be that flowing thing. Just remember that a good person, the righteous person, they leave an inheritance to their children's children. That's not necessarily money, it's values. It's honor. It's integrity. It is character. It is respect. Can you imagine what has happened in our world if we fail to get the values that were instilled in us replenished in the next generation? You see, in the original design, go back to Genesis. If you ever get it twisted, always go back to Genesis. And God blessed them. And then he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and he said, replenish and then subdue. Replenish what? Replenish the stuff that was put in you in the next generation, because if you don't replenish, you'll never be able to subdue it. You'll never be able to bring it under control. If we fail to put the values in us that mamas and daddies and grandparents put in us, we won't be able to subdue grandchildren. And so he says, be fruitful, have the children. You know, I came from the business world. We had to get one location fruitful first. Then we multiply. Never multiply something that you have not gotten fruitful. We got one store fruitful, then we opened a second, then a third, then a fourth, then a fifth, then a sixth, until we had 7 retail stores in Atlanta. And then we went into manufacturing. But you don't start multiplying anything until it's first become fruitful. I mean, if you can't make a cupcake, don't make a sheet cake. It's just the way it is. Just get this thing right. Get it Get it right. Be fruitful in this before you start multiplying and teaching it to someone else. And then that's why he says, replenish, put back in whatever has been taken out, because it will bless the world. It will bless the world. Legacy begins with homework. It begins with homework. And when you think of homework, it makes you think about what has God entrusted in your own home, in your own family. Love starts at home and then spreads abroad. When you come into the church, an incredible church, like Church on the Rock. You know what Church on the Rock is? It's a family of families. A family of families. This is not a crowd, this is a family. It's just a big family. It's a big family. You know the difference between a crowd or a group and people who become a family or a team? It's one word: trust. Trust. Trust turns a group into a team. You'll never build a team with people who do not trust each other. You'll never build a family with people who don't trust each other. That's why God has to give us something that we love in our own homes. It is interesting, Albert Einstein, as brilliant as he was, he had a son by the name of Hans. This Jewish man wrote of his own father, and said of his father, he said, "The only project that my father ever gave up on was me." Albert Einstein's son, Hans. Because legacy starts at home. There's an assignment. It begins with homework. Homework. For me, it began with my 5 children. And now my 9 grandchildren, and then when the 10th one gets here, I'll start discipling that one. But it begins at home. There was an article written in a Christian magazine about a pastor of a mid-sized church. And he had a dream one night, and in that dream, he said that there are 50 teenagers in your church, and you have the ability to lead 49 of them to God and lose out on only one of them. And that particular pastor, through all of his energy and effort into building that youth ministry, into everything that it could be, he raised funds to be able to take them on class trips, and everything worked, and he received denominational notoriety for the work that he had done with the youth in his own church. And one night, he got a call that his 16-year-old son was arrested for dealing drugs. And the boy had turned bitter toward his own father, against the church, against his teacher, the teachings of the church, and resented his father for having time for every other 16-year-old except him in the town. And the father never noticed. His son was the 50th teenager. He won the other 49 and lost in his own home. Legacy begins with homework. Who has God called you to reach that's connected to you? Remember, there's one lamb for every family. There's one lamb for every family. When Lydia, the businesswoman, the seller of purple, when she turned her heart over to the Lord, the Bible says that she believed on the Lord and her household. He's got enough salvation to get everything saved in your house. All he needs is one person that'll be a lamb for the house. If you will be a legend for your house, no matter how wayward they might look, no matter how much it seems as though they don't listen, there is something that we are able to use for the glory of God. Legacy is all about that homework, because it's a critical part of what we do. Then the second part of legacy is hard work. It's not easy. It's hard work. But choose your heart. Being successful is hard, but failing is hard too. Choose your heart. Staying married is hard, but divorce is hard. Choose your heart. Having money is hard, but being broke is hard. Choose your heart. Being in shape is hard, but being out of shape is hard. Choose your heart. It's all hard work. Legacy is about hard work. My daddy was one of those from the builder generation. He worked hard. And I got that inheritance on the inside of me. That was a gift that flowed to me. Not only homework, but also hard work. I started my ministry in my daddy's living room, where every single week, since the time of 1976, I started teaching the Bible in my daddy's home. And as many as 75 people would come and crowd in our living room and listen to me teach the Bible. I started at home, but I didn't start at home trying to reach the world. I started at home to reach my own five brothers. And then we invited our friends in, and neighbors in, and classmates in. And before I knew it, here were 75 folks until we were crowded in the house. Homework, legacy is about homework. And legacy is about hard work. It's not easy. That's why I said choose your heart. And it's also about understanding the heart work. The work that's in your heart. Are you holding animosity, offense, unforgiveness? That's heart work. That's a part of legacy, because you don't want to pass down grudges, animosity, bitterness, anger. Let it go. Let it go. Legacy is about homework, hard work, and heart work, the work of keeping your own heart clear. Legacy is about a seed. It is a seed. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18. Notice this. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, not in their money. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. And then notice what it says. Tell them to use their money to do good. Put your money on a mission. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. One of the greatest things to be able to leave a legacy is when you sow toward that thing. I remember my great granddaddy, who happened to be a preacher, and his daddy was a preacher, and his daddy was a preacher. That's what's down in my DNA. It was passed down. I'm a fourth generation preacher that came down. And so what you witnessed today didn't start with me. I'm just in a line of succession of something that somebody else paid the price for. And they never built mega churches. That grace wasn't on them, but the seed of it was in the faithfulness of what they did and serving God. And I today realize this is not about me and my gift. Whatever gift that is in me came in my great granddaddy. I remember him. Let me tell you why I remember him. I don't remember him because he was a preacher. I remember him because he was a coin collector, and every time I'd go to see him, he would give me one of those coins. I am today what's called a numismatist, which is a coin collector. And I collect coins now because of my great granddaddy, who was a preacher. But I tell you, every time I went to see him, he had a Kennedy 50 cents. He had a silver dollar. And he would give me one of those coins. And I'm telling you, you give people money, they will never forget you. I never will forget my great granddaddy, because he sowed into my life in the natural before I had an appreciation for the spirit. So God will reach you where you are and then bring you where you need to be. And I really realize now that the greater wealth deposit that he gave me was not a Kennedy 50 cents. It was not the silver dollar. It was the impartation of his ability to pray and to seek God. It was his ability to be able to trust the Holy Ghost when you got into a tight spot. and you were frustrated and afraid and didn't know what to do, but it gave me a connection that He is the God of my fathers. It didn't start with me. I'm connected to a lineage of something. I today am a part of legacy, and I've got to let it flow through me. It would be a sin and a shame if I didn't open my mouth and share it with my children and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren as they come down, because I've got to let it flow. Look at somebody, tell them, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. It's amazing. Legacy and destiny. You preserve the legacy, you extend the destiny. Preserve the legacy, extend the destiny. Preserve the legacy, extend the destiny. And it's amazing that as you allow this thing to flow like a seed that hits the ground, something supernatural happens. And let me tell you why you have to sow. Because when a woman who carries eggs, and when a little girl is born, she doesn't manufacture eggs the way that men manufacture sperm. A little girl is born with all of the eggs that she'll ever have. And what happens, she reaches the age of around 11 or 12 years old, 13, and every month an egg matures and is released. There's a whole message in that that sometimes God won't release you until you mature to catch something and reproduce. And every month, the left ovary releases one, the next month the right ovary releases an egg, and they ovulate back and forth. And if it's not fertilized, she goes through this process called menstruation. But there's one thing that will stop her menstruation. It is a seed. A seed stops a cycle. The moment that a woman conceives, her bleeding stops. A seed stops a cycle. Are you listening? A seed stops a cycle. A seed stops a cycle. Not only does a seed stop a cycle, a seed also starts a cycle. So that when a seed, except a corn of wheat, falls to the ground and dies, abides alone, a seed goes and then it starts the cycle of reproduction. A seed starts a cycle. A seed stops a cycle. And if you're bleeding out, if there's something that's being lost in your family, a seed stops a cycle. If people have been going to jail in your family, a seed stops a cycle. If they've been dying prematurely of cancer, strokes, aneurysm, a seed stops a cycle. If they've been dropping out of school, a seed stops a cycle. I'm here to tell you today that I am the result of folks that sowed seed on my behalf. Because a seed stops a cycle, it is the way that legacy is promulgated from one generation to another. And right now, you have to stand in the gap for your family. If there's been alcoholism there, if there's addiction to pornography, a seed stops a cycle. We sow the seed and we say, Lord, I can't do this, but I release this to you. And I want to pray for you now as we honor God in this legacy offering. This is over and above your tithe. This is saying, God, this is the legacy, not merely for me, this is for the next generation. I'm sowing for the other people that will give their hearts to Jesus, the folks that will be baptized, the people that will be delivered off of drugs, off of alcoholism, that will be delivered off of addiction to technology. I'm sowing, I'm believing, I'm sowing this seed for my son, my daughter, my grandson, my granddaughter, my niece, my nephew, my cousin. I'm sowing this for my family, because a seed stops a cycle. And if you're ready for this cycle of insanity, of the stop and start, where they don't ever finish anything, that's a cycle. If you're ready for that thing to stop, it's time to sow the seed. And I want to pray for you that the blessings of God would flow through you, so that as you plant seed today in this legacy offering, that God will take it in the ground of His soil. And He is the only one that has the ability to cause the increase. But God still honors sacrifice. And when we bring Him the sacrifice and say, God, this is it. I bring this to you. I want to pray for you, and then I want you to sow your best gift in this legacy, giving this legacy offering. Say, God, that this is not for me. This is so that what you've done in me doesn't stop with me, but this flows to people in my family, in my community, in my world. I want to make the road longer for someone else. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for these wonderful people, these who are here in person, those who are joining us online today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Redeemer, the lifter of our head, the giver of every good and perfect gift that comes from you from above, the Father of lights. Father, you know the troubles that we experience in our own families, but yet you have given us victory, victory, victory. Father, don't let us die without being able to show your power to another generation. God, we want to sow for their healing today. We want to sow for their deliverance today from substance abuse, from addictive wild habits and things that do desperate to the Holy Spirit. We want to sow, God, today for generational blessings that will come down. God, may you use us as a conduit of your incredible power and blessings to a whole another generation. Show us, God, as we sow today, who we are sowing for, who we are believing for, who we are calling that thing out for, Lord, today. And I thank you, Father, that you will use the seed to stop a cycle of insanity, to stop a cycle of poverty, to stop a cycle of sickness and disease, to stop a cycle of wrong thinking. Father, may you give us miracles in this season, miracles. You can only bless what we're willing to do. Thank you for giving us seed, the ability to be able to sow to make a difference in the lives of others. And Father, as we release it from our hands and from our hearts, may you take it, God, and give irrefutable evidence that the harvest has come because of the seeds that we sow of legacy this day. Thank you for using us to connect the generations so that what has started in us will not stop within us. But today, Lord, empower us to become everything that we shall have wished we had become when we stand before you in that glorious, matchless, and majestic name of Jesus. Amen. Worship God with your giving. God bless you. I love you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.